Hi, welcome to fnbbusinessschool.com. We're with Gabriela Villar today. Gabriela is a chef owner in a beautiful city called Curitiba in Brazil. And hi, Gabriela.
Hi, Nando. Very nice to be here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us, and we look forward to learning a lot from you. Very simply, Gabriela, tell us a bit about yourself. You know, are you married? Do you have any kids? You know, what are you up to nowadays?
Yes. I come from Curitiba, even though I lived abroad for 15 years. It was actually 9 years internationally and then another 6 years in three other states of Brazil. But I have been back in Curitiba, in my hometown, for 11 years now. And I have my business for 9. I am married and I have a daughter, a 4-year-old daughter. And
nice.
I have some families here and then some other part of my father's side family in the northeast of Brazil. So I end up getting to know quite a bit of Brazil because of these families spread out, and Brazil is a very large country. But here is where I'm based, and that's where I'm most of my time in Curitiba.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So you were where internationally? Where were you living for some time?
Well, I first went as an exchange student to the United States, to the state of Oregon, and I was. I'm sorry. Vejo com eles o que for necessário lá, né? Agora eu não vou poder ver. Eu não sei o que é isso aí, mas vejo o que é necessário. Vejo com a Dani, vocês organizaram, então, ok. I'm sorry about that. Since you probably know, being in the restaurant business, sometimes you get caught up. And anyway, so I went to Oregon as an exchange student when I was 15, and that was a great experience as an eye-opening to see how giant the world was and how small my city was, so I needed to be out of my city. So soon after that, I ended up going to study hotel management in Switzerland. That's where I met you, in fact.
Correct.
So after 3 years at La Roche, Swiss Hotel School, I went, between that time, I spent about 7 months in China, and also the other stage, the internship experience in the United in Switzerland itself. And after this experience in Switzerland, I went to the States. That's when I went to do my fourth year. So I went to Beverly near Boston in Massachusetts, and I was there teaching at a university, at a college. It was part-time teaching and part-time studying, doing my fourth year. So that was a great experience. After that, I went to the United States, to California, to San Francisco, where after 2 years in Boston, then another year and a half in San Francisco, and after that I came back to Brazil, looking to getting to know more of my own culture. So then I spent a year and a half in the state of Bahia, where I did get to experience more of our local culture, and then I went to Ceará, which is very much in the north. It was great learning experience also, and eventually went to São Paulo for another year and a half, until finally I said, I do not want to leave anymore, I wanted to settle.
Right.
And it was just very fast, it was just almost like, you know, it was supposed to happen. I soon had an opportunity, I was doing a consulting kind of job for a person who wanted to open like an artistic cafe, and we ended up combining our ideas. So very 6 months after I came back to Curitiba, I was already looking into opening my business, even though that wasn't a dream. It was, since I knew what hard work we had to do with the industry, it wasn't a dream, but I knew what to expect, so I did go for it. So that's kind of my idea.
Nice.
I've been back, here now for 10 years. We've had Quintana for 9 now.
Nice. So could you tell us a little bit about Quintana?
Yeah. Well, Quintana is I tend to explain to people it's much more than just a restaurant. We bring an idea of it's a concept where Quintana has become a living thing. So every, like my employees, my partners, I call them my partners. Each one of them have their impact on what we bring out here. But besides servicing food and beverage, which I think is like the main, I mean, that's one main offer of a food and beverage establishment. Besides servicing this, we also, we try to bring culture and sustainability as our two main pillars, our two main bases. So whether it's to decide on the menu, whether it's to decide on who we're going to employ, whether it's to decide on on many things, we try to always bring concepts of culture and sustainability into our routine, into our everyday. And we do that in different ways. So as far as culture goes, the name itself of the restaurant, Quintana, is honoring one of our greatest poets of Brazil. His name is Mario Quintana, and he's quite known, very well known in Brazil, but quite known internationally also. A famous phrase of him is like, you don't need to go out chasing for the butterflies. You cultivate your garden, and they will come to you. So I just bring that up because he's a very special artist, a very special poet, and we do a lot of that here at Quintana, cultivate our garden. So not only him is an inspiration, but he's not alive anymore, but he's left great work, and we stimulate that, especially reading habits. So we offer a library. It's a library that with about 2,000 books, and we offer it for free for people who would like to borrow books. So we will give them up to 2 months, and they can take it, and there's no cost. It's just, you want to read more, you like this, you take it, and you bring back. Then we also have the art exposition this year. After now, we're going to the 9th year of the restaurant. Until last year, I was in front of this thing, and it was quite challenging because I work with another. I have a communicating jet manager, a communication manager who would help me with all the communication about the artistic works that we do. But it was, there's so much work already. But then this year we have become more professional on this artistic side. So we have a curatorship, a person who takes care. She helps me choose all the, she's an artist herself, and she helps me bring all these different ideas out of the square, just different, bringing special artists for the exposition. We have 10 expositions a year in all different kinds. So paintings, statues, photographs, and all different kinds of stuff. Even today was the last day of one exposition. Thursday, there was a new one coming in. They're all very special. And so we bring this cultural aspect. And also in our culinary, in our cuisine, I had a big challenge of how my challenge, like when I was to open the restaurant, was like, how am I going to bring all these different flavors from all around the world that I have seen and that I love into a menu?
Correct.
So studying the market around here, we also understood that the clients around here where I'm located were looking for, fast and, good-looking food.
Gabriella?
Are you there? I'm here.
Yes, can you hear? Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So you were saying they were looking for good-looking food.
Yes. So we brought up the idea of like a buffet, but unfortunately here in Brazil, the culture of buffet had been lowered, had been, it's most times you would get quantity and not quality, so I don't use the name buffet. We call it a gastronomic table because it's a really nice table. I made all the rechauds. It's a very artisanal, handmade table with nice pots, and we do small portions, well, not so small because there's good business, but we make everything fresh, one tray of this, and one pan of this, and another pan. So The food is always fresh. And then each day of the week, there is a cultural influence. So, for example, today is Tuesday. We is a culture of Asia and the Pacific. So today we had a nice Indian curry, for a coincidence. I mean, of course, it's adapted to the Brazilian taste. It doesn't have as much pepper as I would eat it in India, I would say. We have to adapt. That's one thing that in the beginning I would be quite wild with this, and people would like, oh, you know, that's too spicy. I'm like, this is not spicy. That's how, that's even half of how they eat. And they're like, sorry, Gabriela, but we're not used to this. But we have been conquering many people because they like to have, many people have shared with me, oh, this reminds me of when I went to visit this country or this experience abroad.
Right.
So it's very challenging but very rewarding in this aspect. So we bring cultural in the culinary in this way. And then when it comes to sustainability, which is the other pillar, we try to bring all different sorts. So that's how Quintana was kind of brought up from the organic farmers. I would meet the organic farmers around here, and I could not find their produce in restaurants. So the idea was to have a restaurant, open a restaurant with the farmers, and that was at the time 10 years ago. That was quite new. People were like, "Organics? Is that like that's only? Oh, that's fresh food, or that's boring food, or that's like tasteless food."
Right.
People had no idea what organic meant. So either they didn't know that, or they didn't know about the whole toxins that the regular ingredients take. So anyway, so in the beginning there was looking for good, fresh and organic and local food is what we do. We also try to develop, we do a strong relationship with the family, the family producers. We work very closely to them, bringing different products that many times are not found either in supermarket, sometimes, yes, in fairs, but definitely products that are not found in regular supermarket, but they should be found. But culturally, they're not used to, so they're not found. So we stimulate all these ingredients and local products that will reinforce our own culture here. We also work with sustainability in the architecture, so we collect the water from the rain and we reuse it both for our garden and also to cool one of our, like our deck. We call it our eco deck because it has the rain of the water collected and then resent. And many of these things, we do our own composting, so we have like 5,000 liter tanks of warm.
Wow.
Doing the compost in the back of the restaurant, no smell, no nothing. So it's like, oh, you can't do that because of this. No, we kind of prove it wrong that we can do anything we wish. If it's balanced with the nature, it works, and that's quite cool. We also have native bees in the restaurant. The space of the house is it's a 90-year-old house. We preserve ceiling, roof, and we have many trees all around here. It's very much downtown. But even being very much downtown, we have hummingbirds. My banana tree that I planted the first day, I decided that we were going to rent out this house. It's a rented house. I planted, and today I was showing to a guest here, to a customer here. It has six large bunch of banana in it. So it's very much downtown. And the bees have helped a lot. They're all native bees, stingless bees, and they're very social friendly, so they do not bother anybody, and they produce a very special medicinal honey. So we try to bring all these different ways of impacting, or actually, so the impact of a restaurant is less bad for nature in general. So I went to see, what happens like in the, where we do all of where our garbage after my operation, where does the garbage go to? And then I went to see what happened over there, and then I was in shock. And then I went to see what happened with the recycling, and I was in shock. I was like, well, what we do is not helping because, you know, there is this and that. So we've been learning looking to the end points and to the final process, and then adapting our inner process. And it has been very interesting, very challenging, but very rewarding, as I mentioned. So that's a little bit of the restaurant.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's quite we do a lot of things. We work a lot also with Indians, native Indians from Brazil.
Right.
It's quite interesting.
Right.
I was even talking to a table today, and there were like 8 people, and 2 of them, by coincidence, were Swiss. And I asked, you know, when I mentioned about like Indians or the native bees that used to be used to live together with the Indians, I asked the Brazilians, like, who of you, of all the Brazilians, know about this? And, like, nobody knew. Even I'm a professional in this industry, and I've only been learning more about the Indians now, like, ever since I've been back and I've been curious. And every time I dig a little bit, I learn something incredible. And that's when I realized that, like, we don't know much, and, you know, mm-hmm. every day is an opportunity to learning and then sharing. So we try to share all of this information that we keep on learning about what we have here. Yeah, that's a little bit of Quintana, and everybody's part of it. So here we have a team that there is one guy who makes like these incredible drinks, fruit mixed drinks with native fruits,
right.
different herbs, different. So each one here is a. That's why I define Quintana as something alive. It's not just a restaurant. It's
right.
Something depends on me and many other people here. Yeah.
That's amazing. So what's the vision for your business going forward?
Well,
what gets you excited? What's the vision? Yeah.
What gets me excited is the possibility of not only showing that it's possible to do things more more balanced, more. With all of the experiences that I know you've had, also international experiences and all these different cultures, and to me it's very clear. Like if we don't make the changes, especially here in Brazil, the changes will not happen, or they will take too long to happen that it will be too late. So my vision is that we are able to really bring this concept more and more, not only to, like, of course, Quintana, not only to my restaurant, but also to other restaurants. Today and yesterday, I had a tour with the International School of Curitiba, a tour with 20 kids learning about how we do our worms, how we do our compost, how we deal with bees and what.
Nice.
All of that. And it's, like, this is what I already look forward to, that we become an inspiration, and may we become, you know, may we especially be able to do more, a little bit more every day. May we keep on learning and bringing this out. And, of course, that has to be sustainable also for the business. So sustainability has to be all together. So we do know in the end, it may seem that we get less money because we invest in taking care of our mother nature. So we do make investments.
Right.
I spend money every month for the composing thing. I spend money for to bring Indians and to help them, you know, get to anything
right.
of that. But we understand that in the long run, for example, Brazil just went through a crisis, a really serious economic crisis, and many people many restaurants that were very focused on the profit had really bad changes in their business because, yes, the whole economic crisis was an error. But we have such strong concepts that although we did also lose a few clients, even when it's a low tide, let's say, or when it's not such a great time, we still do the same way. So we don't go through ups and downs too high. We don't gain a lot of money, neither we lose a lot of money. We are quite in balance, and that's what I look for, that we may, of course, become, more even in balance in the way that I have a team here, like I said, my colleagues, my employees, but we are a team. What I look forward is that we build this so strong that each one of them and all of us that we can grow without needing to still having a balance, having quality of life. Because many people ask me, oh, please open on this side of the city, please open in Rio, please open in Ever, please open. And people, oh, I can be a partner, I can do the friend. And I'm like, I have a life, I have a daughter, and my employees also, they work a lot there. So it's in use. So my goal, what I look for, and I think for the future, is to create more and more an environment that is, I mean, it's not that is a business, but is like a balanced business that has all these different proposals. If I were to not to be able to contact, to do all these events culturally or events with the Indians, or if I could not go and talk, go and invest in going to the fields and going to, sometimes I do like 4-hour drive, with, it has to be a strong car because it's in the middle of nowhere and it's quite dangerous and all. But once I get there and once I'm with the producer and he shows me his product and I try that,
right,
and he tells me that comes from a tradition. He learned from his father, who learned from his grandfather, who came from the first one up there. When I hear all that, I'm like, okay, let's invest.
That's amazing.
I mean, let's help them, because to them, 100 reais, for example, is a big difference. And to us, okay, 100, we have this contact, is nothing compared to what's to them. So it's like, no, it's worth it, even if it's an investment. And it's amazing because we've made quite only a little bit, but compared to the general industry of restaurants here of our country, of my country, we've done a lot because we've been working with like producers. The last year, 2016, was called the International Year of Beans, of pulses, actually, pulses.
Okay.
So, you know, FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, it's an arm from ONU, from United Nations, from Organization of Nations, ONU. Well, it's a governmental. So they declared that pulses, like beans, chickpeas, lentils, all kinds of pulses, were the ingredients. They're so potential. They're so great ingredients, full of nutrition, and they're also great for the soil, and they consume little water for the result they give. And there are many other things which I'm not going to get into detail. But I go after information like that, and what can I do about this? Well, we've made a whole revolution here in the restaurant. We used to use about 500 kilos of beans in a year, and now we use about 2 tons of beans a year.
Wow.
With that, we've been working with local producers. So I have like this dude, one time I go to his farm, to his land. It's not a farm, it's just a piece of land, in the middle of all these people around him who are getting disease because they plant tobacco with a lot of toxins. So they all, and he's like, oh, he loves to plant beans, but he plants all kinds of vegetables. He's like self-sustainable. And he was like almost out of hope because the beans that he produced were only beans for him and for people around him who wanted. So I go in there and I was like, I tried his beans and I was like, he didn't want to sell me because they didn't look so good. But I knew that they were a species I had never seen before. So I took home, I tried those beans, and I came back to him. I was like, I want these beans. And he's like, oh, but I can't produce because nobody buys. I said, whatever you produce, I'll buy. So, I mean, then changes inside our kitchen. We used to make beans. Brazil is very popular for beans, and we make normally one kind of style. So we went to create like 5 different other style of beans. It's all different cake beans, different salad beans, all different kinds of beans with this and beans and that. So it's very interesting because that has been a great way to incentive, like my team, to create new things. So this guy then in the beginning of this year, all this happened 2016. So then in the 12th of January, the guy that helps this producer, who is in contact with this producer, who then we keep in contact, he's like, Gabriela. So he has like 20, it wasn't much, but he said, oh, this test worked. He used to produce 2 kinds of beans. Now he has 7 kinds of beans. So stuff like that helps us and gives us inspiration to continue doing that.
So what do you get out of this? What do you get out of this, Gabriela? What does this do for you, your family, your employees? What do you get out of this?
Well, to me, I think I'm going towards my mission in life. I understand that I'm not here for no reason, and I understand that I went to, we had such experiences everywhere. And that's an opportunity. I understand that in my country, many would like to do that, don't have the opportunity. And I was even telling the Swiss guys at the table today, I learned in Switzerland that the difference of having something done and not having done and not having it done is actually doing it. So to me,
perfect.
Doing all of this, because here in Brazil it's all different. It's like, oh, you know, the government doesn't do that. The government, blah, blah, blah. But they're always pointing one finger at the other, and there are three fingers pointing at them, at ourselves, that we forget about, that we only look at the other, the problem of the other. So instead of that, I have like self-realization, because what I do, it's not only a business, much more than that. If it was a business, I would be frustrated, because I think being able to work is an honor. Like I said, I love the bees, and I've learned with the bees. I mean, being able to work. But if we're working, if we're doing something, and like, you know, we were talking earlier, if we're harming ourselves, something is not right. So to me, it's important to feel that I'm, you know, that I'm helping others, that I can contribute with others. So I try to do that on my everyday, like on the everyday aspects of it, and try to bring as much as possible to my staff. So I have many people here that have changed, many of my team that have changed their views on how they eat, on how on how they throw their things out. So it's very tiny things, but then I feel at least I'm doing my part, and I cannot ask somebody else to do anything else if I don't do my part. So I try to learn as much as I can, do my best, and of course learn from others so that we can keep on looking, keep on
doing
it better.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, so it's
amazing.
I mean, very challenging, and my family is like, oh, you know, I want to have another kid, and my mom and my sister, they're like,
correct.
You can't have another kid because you don't have the time. But personally, yeah. Like, I have good quality time with my daughter. She has, there is less time that I have with her, that I spend with her, than I would like, maybe, or maybe that's not the right word, that I could spend if I didn't work that much, or if I didn't have all these
right.
different projects involved. I know that her health is incredible. She understands the relationship about many things that in the future, I mean, I have to leave it for her. She's going to, I understand now, having lived in all these countries, I understand what's going to come in the next 40 years, in the next 6 years. And I don't think it will be very pretty. So I need to make sure that I do what I can do now, because later it will be too late, and that I leave, you know, for whoever is around me, that they understand that if they want to make a difference, it's just a matter of doing it. It doesn't take more than that. It's just to do it. And you're great at telling me that, you know, something done every day, like the routine, you know, after you have the routine, it becomes part of it. And then, like you said, the gains of success
right.
are much bigger, right? Yeah.
Right. That's
so
amazing, Gabriela.
It's so quite good, yeah.
That's fantastic. So I mean, you said that you wish that you'd have more time with your daughter.
Yeah, actually,
is that the one
yeah.
thing you want more of today, or is there something
actually,
else you want more of?
What do I do? So then I do like little escapes. If I'm here, I'm worried about the business. So I've been working a lot for like I'm in the process. Even if it's 9 years that I've been here now, 9 years is not too much. We know that is not too little either. But it's not too much. So I consider that just like kids, just like humans, we have like seven first years is where you need to have a good base of education or food and all that, because after that you start a pre-adolescence.
Correct.
So it's like a second age, let's say. Quintana is at the same
Correct.
Page, it's kind of like that also with 9 years. So now my goal is to have, and I'm getting there every day I see a better result of this. I have a team each day more, not only committed, but more organized. Organization is a weak point of mine. So I've been working on organization of the team, because I know that the work is done mainly by them. So if I do my job in helping them, just like you said, you know, they'll be do. they'll be doing. And then I do runaways, like I'm going away this weekend with my daughter for 3 days, and then so I do have quality time with her. I do not want to stop working, and I don't necessarily want to do less. So when I say, oh, I would like to have more time with my daughter, I think the best way to of saying that in a more clear way is I need to balance taking the whenever time I'm with my daughter, I am with my daughter, and I don't need to worry about other things. So as long as I am organized and if I have my things organized at the restaurant, I can get away for a few days. Then in April, I have a whole week. We're traveling off to the Northeast, and we're having a week vacation, the two of us. So we do have quality time. But yes, my family, for example, that's what I mentioned, to my family, my sister, for example, doesn't work outside of her home. So yes, okay. She does have much more time with her kids. But in the end, if I were to put everything on a scale, I don't think I would want to change the way I am now, you know? I don't think I would like to change and work less, for example. I know I can get more efficient. I know I can get more organized. I know I can get better, and that's why I was very interested in talking to you, too, because I really liked okay. the F&B. I thought that was really cool, and so that's, I think, a way to learn in the future. I agree with I also see what you see when you say about the program of the F&B school. I think that's great because especially sharing the experience internationally, I think that's the
right.
future. Yeah, great.
Good. So what's your biggest learning to date in running a restaurant business successfully and profitably? What's the biggest lesson you've learned till now to run a successful restaurant? Is there anything that comes out that's very specific that you've learned over time that it's needed in order to run a successful restaurant? You have to do this or you have to be this way. Is there something that you'd like to share that you've learned?
Yeah, well, I think... you need to find a balance. Otherwise, it's such a demanding industry that it may kill you. I mean, we know how many people have gone out of the industry because
right.
it is a very challenging industry. So yes, I think finding balance, I think is crucial. But I think before that is like is passion. If you don't love so much that even at the hardest times you will stick to it, then don't get into it because then the loss is even bigger, the effort, there you go. So I think passion is the first thing. I think if you don't have passion, if you just have, I have friends, I like to cook for my friends, forget
right.
opening a
right.
business.
And there are many, and there are many who do that. Yeah,
many, and yes, and here is also very young. I think just like India, in Brazil, we also have a lot of. We're still there. A lot of new things, new international things coming too, and there are a lot of new culinary schools going on now. So it's very. I mean, it's quite challenging because I see many people. Not giving the right, not showing sometimes the right reality of the industry because they,
correct.
You know, they're just like, oh, yeah, let's do this. This is so much fun. But we know it's very serious business. So if you don't have the passion, you know, I don't think hard times is too hard, you know, to be together, to stay in. And then with that, I think that's my challenge. That's what I'm learning. Now I'm a much better point. I have lived like my fifth year. It was like, my God, I was like going through a crisis because it was already like 5 years that I had been in business. And yeah, things has always been rising, thank God. But still, there were so many problems. And I was like, doesn't it ever get like, don't you ever have like a life? Doesn't it always stop? Doesn't it ever stop to have like all these problems? And finally, I've been having a little bit more of this feeling every now and then. It's not always present, you know, everything is working fine. And
correct.
I don't think we'll ever get to the 100%. You know, I always tell my team, now we're at 70, but in 3-4 years' time, people would come here and say, oh, this is so great, this is so excellent, because the concept has always been here. But, you know, in the meetings with my team, it's like, people, we're at 30%, we're too far, still there's so much to be done. So now we're at 70. At 70 is great, but there's still a lot to be done, even of things that we don't know yet, that maybe we'll be doing even after, even learning with the F&B school, for example. So anyway, I think these two things, passion is definitely the first one. And then I wouldn't even say persistence, but persistence for balance. And personally, like one thing that I think I have a negative one thing, if you only look for profit, I also think you're not going to succeed. Because when your crisis comes, it will drop. So if you only look for profit, if you just like, oh, this is business and my private life is something else, I think at one point or another, that proposal fails.
Okay. Could you just, you know, just a little bit more about that? Why do you feel that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people get into it for as a business and for profit. And if it's, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, it may come, but I go very, very, very deep. When we're talking about food and beverage, that's the third, well, the second in the case, actually, because beverage is there, and the second one would be water. So the second main needs of surviving, if we don't have that, we do not survive. So first we have air, then we have water, and then we have food. If we don't treat these ingredients with respect, if we don't pay attention to how we're dealing with them, and we're only interested at like the lowest cost ever and the highest profit, we are not being respectful to where it came from. We're not looking to where does the food come from, where does the water come from, and we're not worried about what happens in the end on the other side. So the impacts of maybe using, yes, this is a very cheap product, but it's, for example, Brazil, we have the highest use of poison, how do you call that, the poison for plants.
Correct. The toxins. Yeah.
Yes,
the sprays and that they use. Yeah.
Yes. So like, okay, maybe you have a really large, okay, you have like you said, we have or even a McDonald's. Oh, Gabriela, so you say that you know nothing great about McDonald's. McDonald's has built an empire, but it has to, for example, a large company like that also has to invest money to make a balance to the harms that we create in the end. So basically, if we're not responsible to look at from A to Z, from the beginning to the end of the whole food chain, I think there will be, for it's like nature will revenge kind of thing.
Correct.
One time, it's not sustainable. It doesn't, unfortunately, one time, of course, you can make all these changes. And we have many very large companies all throughout the world have gone through situations like that. And, of course, then they have to come with a new idea and become something even bigger. But we have had very various situations where some of these big companies collapse. Even like, for example, McDonald's.
Correct.
McDonald's has been super, super, super great. But nowadays, people understand that, okay, maybe they offer, they have had to change their profit or orientation view. So that's in this sense that we must have responsibility, let's say, I think, of what we do, and doing something only for the money that comes to you is too selfish. We have to find a way of balancing out, and even sometimes even like a company that is, for example, like McDonald's, even that is, you know, it serves junk food, sometimes products that are not so good for you, but if they work in the a balance, it doesn't necessarily compromise the others. Not that they invest in something positive in helping nature in some way that will that will solve anything, but at least there's a balance. So what I think is this, I don't know if that has helped to clear the idea.
Absolutely.
And I think for like smaller, for even like small companies, I have many friends here that have opened like 2, 3, 4, 5 restaurants. I have one friend here who has opened and opened now. I think he's now in Miami. He's now in Australia. He's now everywhere. His name he calls himself the best burger in the world. And sometimes I do like some speeches and I mention him. He created a whole new industry. So if he invests in creating his own cow, because he makes, of course, to lower cost, he invests in all the base, the everything is made in one big factory. And that's okay. He uses local human resources, which I find good.
Right.
And that's already a positive side. He could have brought people from everywhere, from abroad, but he uses local human resources, and that's already good. Eventually, he might be using more organic ingredients, and I know that he already understands that he will need that because the public will looking to that. So it doesn't matter what size it is. I think he needs to have a balance with like the well-being in general. And yeah, and he has, so he can't only satisfy the owner's pocket. It has to be thought out as a offer something not only for ourselves, but it has to be offered for the population, especially when dealing with food. That is what will keep us either alive or not, either healthy, either good producted or not producted. Because if we eat just bad food, that's not going to be good for anybody. The result is not good.
Correct.
Either for the nature, neither for ourselves. So kind of like that.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriela. I'm going to change course and ask you something more specific to Quintana now.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest challenge you face in your business today, the number one biggest challenge?
I would say, human resources, I think no doubt. I think the biggest challenge to deal with people, I think that's the biggest challenge. I think that's the biggest challenge,
okay.
to develop a team, to build a concept, to build a team spirit. I think that I don't have many problems of turnover or problems with employees anymore because we have been working with this concept from the beginning. But that's what I get from most of my partners and even to me. I'm here pretty much every day. And I still have challenges with people because everything is so artisanal, so handmade, either transforming the food, either talking to clients to make events, either for everything. And we have like all those stories that I said. We have bees, we have worms, we have art, we have all this. If we don't have people and the staff, my partners, my employee partners who are here, if they don't learn about it, it's very hard that they will put this out. And if they don't talk about it, they will not give out a good experience to the client. Maybe he will not even realize that there were bees right next to him. So the challenge,
correct,
I think, would be people.
So how does this affect your business?
Well, that's also my highest risk of like... Brazil is quite famous of having our laws are horrible. So my highest risk would be like having a sue from an employee, for example, who came and said blah, blah, blah. And sometimes, you know, that's because the law doesn't work, is not good, then, you know, sometimes it's just... So that's the biggest challenge also because of that, because financially my highest risk is a lawsuit. Let's say everybody decides to get into a lawsuit. So that's a big risk, right? Of course, the challenges of minimizing this risk is my daily routine. Yeah.
If I were to simplify what you're saying, are you saying that your number one challenge is communication with employees? A daily communication a constant need of daily communication? Is that your number one challenge?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because all the remaining one, we have gone, we have commitment, we have everything else. Yes, I think communication would be it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if one was to, if you could remove this as a challenge and find a suitable way to communicate with your staff, what would that do for your profits?
Oh, that would rise. That would rise, not drastically, but we would be more assertive on everything. So we would sell more. We would we offer here. Our mission is to serve and go beyond an expectation. So, you know, that's not easy to exceed expectation, to surprise. Our mission is this. I was trying to look for the right word, is to serve and surprise. So if we had, if we don't have that as a challenge, then we are much closer to achieving our mission.
So developing this team being a challenge, like you said, your number one challenge is to deal with people and develop a team, that spirit. I mean, how does that, I mean, where in your business are you losing out because of that?
I'm sorry, I got interrupted. Can you repeat the question, please? What would?
So you mentioned that your number... Your number one challenge was, you said, to develop a team. You know, even though you're there every day, you still have a challenge to create that team spirit.
Actually, no, I already have that. But you brought the communication, so there is room for improvement in communication.
Okay.
And if we leave this gap of communication gap that we still have, then we solve. But we do have the team spirit already. For sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Very strong, in fact,
So if you had better communication with your employees, how would that affect you personally? I mean, would that change your personal life?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
You mind just sharing? I mean, what would happen? Let's say that tomorrow, you know, you figure it out. You figure out a way to communicate with your staff better and... things are getting better, your profits are improving. How would that change your personal life?
Well, my business life would be impacted, and I'll start with this one, because then I could focus more on bringing more people in, on even solving people's, or facilitating or bringing mechanisms that facilitated the work here. So my job, of course, I would be focusing more on my duties itself, let's say. But personally, yes, I would have more time to myself, of course, to my family, as I mentioned. But definitely that will reflect also on the business, on the impact of the business. It would reflect positively, because most of the times when I realize, like when I'm outside, if I go on a business trip, if I'm out for like 10 days, I realize that people, you know, without me being here, they end up being more, they have more sense of ownership of what they're doing, and they all do it better. So it would reflect, I think, only positive aspects. I would be here less. They would be more independent and more productive. So I think it reflects, and I wouldn't be stressed at times.
Right.
Because, yes, I do stress quite often.
Yeah, I think we all do in this business. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that was fantastic answer. So I know I've taken a lot of your time. Just a few quick questions before we end this. Whatever comes to your mind first, okay? So if you had one wish for your business today, what would it be?
I think would be a better communication.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You have
I think I can help you out there a little later.
All right.
The next question. What's the biggest lesson you could share with restaurant owners across the world?
I try to tell when I have some new people coming in for either for only a few days, I try to bring here either you love what you're doing or you're doing what you love. Because if you don't find love at what you're doing, or if you don't look for it, sometimes I don't love this. So find the love. So you must have love. I think that's like to me. You know, there are times that I'm like, okay, Gabriela, you're not loving yourself. That sometimes, thank God, it's been some time now. It's been at least 4 years now. It hasn't gone, but it came. I remember one time I was, you know, very down. I'm like, oh, I can't, you know, why am I so down? And then I was like, no, I have to, it has to please me, because if I've chosen to do this, either, okay, and I don't want to do it anymore, I'm not liking it, or there's all these problems and I don't know what to do and it's desperate or whatever, either you change it and you go towards a different direction that you don't need to go through that, or you start finding love there and what's good about it. And I've done this with some employees also. I had one situation very delicate, and one of my oldest employee, my first employee, that she was here even before I rented out this place, she was already here, she's an asset, she's very important, and she was, I mean, she's been here now for 9 years. She's newer even at this industry. Before, she was just a cleaning lady, and then she became a cook, and then she's gone through all the areas here. She's been garde-manger, she's been pâtisserie, she's helped in the hall. I was having a lot of problems with her. But I didn't want to put her out, because not only the risks were too high, but also, like, she's an asset. How can I throw somebody out? I try to not to put anybody out. If somebody wants to be out, if they don't belong here anymore, they will end up asking to leave. So I did like this to her, and I started looking. It was like I couldn't get close to her and talk about my business, and it didn't make me feel good, but I started slowly. Look for what's good in her. Look for love. And now we're just so fine. It's just so great. We regained each other. And that also, like, just myself also with the business. And, you know, so love. Either you love what you do, or
beautiful.
You find love in that, I think.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. And if you could share one secret of yours that'll help restaurant owners who want to make their business profitable. Now, here, profitable could be profits. It could be more time to themselves, with their family. It could be many. So could you share one secret of yours that could help restaurant owners who want to make their business profitable?
Yeah.
This is Gabriela's secret.
I think it's quality. Quality. I think quality doesn't go out of fashion. So quality,
beautiful.
And then of course that quality may be different for each one. Right? So yeah, then I think each one has to find their own quality, but it has to have quality. And to me, it's like quality has to be, like I mentioned, like in balance. So it has to be good for us. It has to be good for the environment. It has to be good for the mouth. It has to be good for the body. It has to be good for the experience. So quality in general, it doesn't, yeah. I think quality raises. That's the reason I charge higher, and I mean, people understand it's for the style. They'll, as there are many buffets that charge less because they're just, you know, a restaurant serving a buffet. Not much behind it is a restaurant servicing food and beverage. Maybe they don't have all the proposals that we offer here at Quintana, for example. Yeah, most of I think we are the highest price here, but we can we are okay financially, which I think is crucial. Of course, time and all of that is crucial, but I mentioned that financially, I mean, that's important also, because otherwise you can't invest in all of the things that I mentioned that we invest.
Correct.
So focusing on quality, I think you can always charge for it and gain trust. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Okay, last question, Gabriella.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to start all over again, what's the one piece of advice you would give young Gabriella? What would you tell her?
Go study another industry. Go study another industry, girl. Find another way to make money. Go and travel the world. No, I'm just joking. I'm just saying that because sometimes we have that saying, the green of the neighbor is always greener, right?
Right.
If I had to do it all, one thing, I think I am not, I'm learning. Maybe I'm at a stage right now that I'm looking to this, I'm getting to this, not to take things so seriously. I hear that, I see that, I can see how how I have to pay attention to that, especially for my future, but I confess that I'm still learning that. So I think that's advice I give myself now, because every moment is a new beginning. So don't take things so seriously. You have to take serious enough that, of course, you get things going on, but it's too delicate when we go to the line of hurting ourselves because, you know, we're so into that or not. Yeah, so I think that's something I'm looking into. That's my new phase and all that.
What would you tell your daughter entering this world?
I'm sorry, what would I tell my daughter? What?
What would you tell your daughter entering this world? I mean, you have so many passions, you have so many causes you're working for, there's so much good stuff you're doing. What would you tell your daughter? What advice would you give your daughter today? In today's world, what advice would you give your daughter?
Look into yourself, like go try to look inside yourself. And sometimes I spent, I did many things in ways that I would do differently today because, you know, I was always like, so wow, everything is so new. And, you know, many times you're just, you know, more outside even than inside. The outcomes are more important than the inner, the inga. I think, of course, and that's maturity. But try to go inside yourself. I think we have to. That's an exercise that I practice a lot, and even though I've been practicing for nine years now, it's an exercise that I'm still very new at. And I know there a whole life is little to is not enough to practice, but it's to go inside yourself and try to really feel what pleases you, what you want. Try to find ourselves, because I really think, I mean, everything's so large. I mean, especially, imagine now, the two of us talking, this is very special. And the whole world, everything's so so large. There's so many possibilities. I've read some of your things. The truth of each one of us is inside ourselves, and to find that out is sometimes we take too long for that. So the sooner we look for that, the better it is. So I think to my daughter, I'll try to, really try to get to know yourself, get inside yourself, and try to understand
That's
who
beautiful.
You are. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so even
beautiful,
though it's
Gabriela.
Very difficult, but yeah.
That's beautiful. I think we've learned a lot from you, and a lot of restaurateurs across the world are going to learn a lot. I'm going to stop this recording. Just stay online.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. One
second. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.